in the home 6010.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. It is Friday, October 23rd. We are getting you ready for most every game in Week 7, plus a recap of last night's game as the Eagles have taken a commanding lead in ESPN's Football Index Power Index projections to win the NFC East this season. Phil Yates, Matthew Berry to my left, Stefania Bellis here, Daniel Dobb, Kyle Soppy, and our entire crew. You're back. So someone, The gang's all here, and somebody had to win. The Eagles win 22-21. If I gave you the opportunity to describe last night's game in three words, are there three words that come to mind?
Professional football game. It qualified as a game in the NFL.
It's pretty good right there.
I mean, you know, that's what it was. And by the way, I did just pull it up. Look at that. I know social distancing, but can you see that? Look what happened.
And so before the show, we were having an intense conversation about GIFs related to the Fantasy Focus.
Because, by the way, I mean, like, Field absolutely murdered me on Twitter yesterday. Like, okay? props where props are due. But, like, I'm muerto. I mean, Secret Squirrel, like, I mean, like, it's just like one of the, like, I literally should have deleted my account. Like, Field and I go back and forth on Twitter sometimes.
Sure.
And I think sometimes I get the better of him.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Field crushed me like a grape. Like, it not even close. Like, I mean, it was unbelievable. And so we were talking about GIFs and we're going back and forth. And anyway, like, we just discovered, if you go on Instagram, it's not as great on if you want a GIF of me, they're on Twitter. You can search ESPN Fantasy Football or Fantasy Focus or Matthew Berry and ESPN Matthew Berry, and they come up. You have to search for them, but they come up. But on Instagram, you know, when you do the stories, when you're looking at GIFs on stories,
right,
and you search for Fantasy Focus, there are animated GIFs of all of us.
Oh, all right.
So you can put Secret Squirrel or Stefania Bell or Field Yates along with me on your stories as stickers, what have you.
I think every Instagram story that I do from now until the end of the times will include Stefania Bell.
Fair.
Or sticker version.
I don't blame you.
All right, so let's get to the game and recap some of the fantasy elements of the Eagles' 22-21 win. Seriously, an impressive win for Philadelphia in the fourth quarter. They were down 21-10. They come back on the strength of Carson Wentz throwing to a bunch of players he met the week before. I mean, not literally, but close.
Close.
But Carson Wentz, one way or another, man, Carson Wentz takes a lot of heat in Philadelphia, and he turns the football over way too much.
We talked about this last week on the show. We said, like, Carson Wentz is a buy low. We talked about it multiple times. We talked about it on the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus. Carson Wentz was in the love list on Love Hate yesterday on ESPN.com. By hook or by crook, Carson Wentz has been getting it done. He's been getting it done with his legs. He's been getting it done. Yet another rushing touchdown last night for Carson Wentz has been unbelievable. He's like a young Michael Vick out there.
27.8 fantasy points last night for Carson Wentz. And so
he's obviously not Michael Vick, but in all honesty, he does remind me of sort of the rookie year version of Carson Wentz, where he was much more mobile, much more, you know, scrambly and just sort of like being.
You know what?
What?
That applies to both fantasy and real football.
Yes, it does.
Because, again, there is a very healthy conversation. I mean, Carson Wentz last night had a brutal interception. And he's had
a series of
brutal interceptions this season, which is why some are still discouraged by his play. But for those that have in fantasy football, it matters not, as he got 27.8 points last night, and he now faces the Cowboys in Week 8 with 3 extra days to prepare before playing the Giants again, I believe with a bye in between.
Yeah. I mean, the one of the reasons we talked about Carson Wentz as a bye low last week, that's now out the window. But when we talked about it last week, it was just like, look, Giants, Cowboys, bye, Giants again, then Browns. Like, that's his schedule coming up. And he's going to get, you know, we talked about this, his weapons are getting healthier. Like, he's going to have DeSean Jackson, although, what you know, once again, gets injured. But, like, he's getting DeSean Jackson back. They think they'll get Alshon Jeffrey back next week, right? I mean, like, he's starting to get, he's going to get Dallas Goedert back soon. Like, all of a sudden, it's going to be a little bit better here. Multiple touchdown passes in 3 straight. He's had a rushing score in 5 of the last 6. I was texting with Seth Markman last night. Seth and I are playing each other in the war room.
Mm-hmm.
So I was texting with him last night. He's playing Carson Wentz against me, and he's lamenting the interception. I'm like, dude, by the time this is all over, he's going to have over 300 total yards and 3 total touchdowns at least. What do you know?
Yeah.
Over 300 yards, three total touchdowns.
Yeah, Seth is our boss. So if you lose that matchup, it's actually a good thing.
I'm fine. Exactly.
Boston Scott filled in for, of course, Miles Sanders last night. Finishes with 18.2 fantasy points, including a great touchdown catch that won the game for Philadelphia. The running game was tough last night for Philly because the offensive line, which was already banged up, got even more injured during the game as Lane Johnson left the game. Early, he was in and out, and then he was just out. But if Miles Sanders is not available in week 8, Boston Scott will be right back where he belongs. RB2 radar.
I mean, I thought this was interesting. He got 75% of the Eagles running back carries in this game. Weeks 1 through 5, Miles Sanders, remember he was hurt in week 6, but weeks 1 through 5, Miles Sanders, 66% of the Eagles running back carry.
So
right. I mean, partially, but so it skewed a little bit, but the fact of the matter is like, whatever, you know, they had Corey Clement out there a little bit as well, you know, Huntley for
Jason
whatever.
Huntley, yeah.
They, you know, they had a, you know, got a cup of coffee, but it was the Boston Scott show.
It was. It was also partially the Travis Fulgham show. We don't need to belabor this one too much, other than that it's a really cool story. 5 catches on 11 targets for 73 yards. Nearly a touchdown as well. He's got 3 straight games with 10-plus targets. Travis Fulgham's a thing. He's going to remain a thing. Still no sign of Alshon Jeffery, and perhaps now going forward, Stefania, no DeSean Jackson, who was involved early, and then he left this game again.
Yeah, I tweeted it last night right when I saw it because he was the unfortunate victim of a late hit. Really should never have happened. He was already down on the ground. And the problem was he got hit late with the full weight of the defender on top of him. And his knee was flexed to the end range. So it was all the way bent up. So he was in a bad position for his knee to begin with. And then he got rotated. So his knee got twisted. And then the very last thing on the ground was the ankle, and then the ankle got twisted. So if you can imagine like a corkscrew going from the ankle all the way up to the knee, he had to be helped off the field. He couldn't put weight on it. And now this morning, Adam Schefter tweeting that he's undergoing an MRI in his ankle to determine whether he'll need surgery. They believe he suffered a high ankle sprain. That rotation mechanism of the ankle is classic for a high ankle sprain. I sort of suspected that could be at least part of the problem, but further testing for him. It certainly doesn't look good for him to be available the next few weeks regardless.
And how about Miles Sanders, Stefania? I understand they just played the game last night, so it's not like they owe us any update on him, but any sense of whether he plays next week against the Cowboys?
I think it's a little too soon to tell. They didn't seem to think he would miss more than 1 to 2 weeks, so we're really right in that window.
Okay, we'll keep an eye out on that one, and Boston Scott will be on the waiver wire column for those looking for some reinforcements.
Last thing for me on this game, and then we can move on to the Giants here, was Richard Rodgers, you know, the former Green Bay Packer, right? I mean, look, six catches, 8 targets, 85 yards, should have had a touchdown, and with Dallas, look, we know Zach Ertz is going to miss at least 3 to 4 weeks. And Dallas Goedert, maybe Dallas Goedert comes back next week. Maybe he doesn't.
Sounds unlikely.
Huh?
Sounds unlikely.
Seems unlikely. And regardless, we know the Eagles like 2 tight end sets. They like to use that a lot. So there's a chance that even if Dallas Goedert comes back, Richard Rodgers has a role. Philadelphia, in terms of per game tight end ranks this season, they lead the NFL in targets to the tight end. They have the 4th most catches, the 5th most receiving yards. Again, that's just the tight end position. And that's with, you know, Zach Ertz obviously having a season so far that has not been what we expect out of Zach Ertz. So I do think Richard Rodgers is somebody that should make your waiver wire column next year, especially given the dearth of production from this position overall in fantasy.
Well, glad you read it last week, as he was mentioned on the column. He, of course, is from Massachusetts. Oh, that's good to know. That's better than I expected. Move forward to the Giants.
I click the link. I skim it. Am I mentioned? I'm not mentioned. I'm out.
All right, let's move forward to the Giants, who Daniel Jones came very close to having.
Thank you, Secret Squirrel.
The best fantasy game of his season. 20.7 fantasy points last night for Daniel Jones with 92 rushing yards. You've all seen the play by now. He had what would have been an 85-plus yard touchdown run.
Yes.
And then it was a great tackle by Fletcher Cox. It wasn't Fletcher?
Turf Monster.
Turf Monster got him. I mean, just everything you need to know about the NFC East in one play was Daniel Jones literally being tackled by nobody as he just tripped on his way to the end zone. The Giants ended up scoring, but from a fantasy perspective, it would have been nice to get those extra 7.5 points.
It would be, but who was starting him?
I don't know.
I would be surprised if anyone started him. He's been bad. I mean, like, the offense is, I will say this. I thought he looked better than he has all season long. He still made too many turnovers, still made some mistakes. You mentioned the falling down, but the guy ran 80 yards before he fell down. I mean, give the guy some credit. But what I will say is that Well, he looked better, and having Sterling Shepard out there certainly helped. You know, he finally had like Slayton, Shepard, Tate, and Slayton and Ingram, all of them together, right? But look, next week they play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You're not starting them against the Buccaneers.
We don't need to. It was more having fun. Just having fun.
I understand.
We don't need to go too crazy on the Giants, really, in general, after this game last night. But Daniel Jones, I mean, it was cool to see him have some yards last night, but still not a great season for him thus far. Stefania, Devontae Freeman had emerged leading into this game as the clear-cut go-to guy in the Giants' backfield, and then last night happened.
Yeah, last night. He really didn't do much, so you may not have noticed that he left in the third quarter late with an ankle injury. He was called questionable to return, but he never did. So he could be somebody that could be compromised for next week.
Yeah, Wayne Gallman ended up filling in for him most last night. He had 34 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown, probably just by dint of the fact that he would be the starting running back. He'll make the waiver wire column as well.
I guess so, but a brutal fumble there. And by the way, again, they play the Buccaneers next week. You're not going to want Wayne Gallman against the Buccaneers. You may be desperate enough that you have to do it, but in an ideal world, you're not starting Wayne Gallman against the Buccaneers, which I think you can make an argument is playing the best defense in the NFL right now.
Yeah, no question about that. Darius Slayton had a, well, Darius Slayton type of night, because he has two types of nights. He either has 8 catches for 100 yards and a touchdown, or he has 2 catches for 23 yards and no touchdowns. Last night was one of those 2 catches for 23 yards with no touchdowns type of night. He was shadowed by Darius Slay. Sterling Shepard had a nice night last night, 6 catches for 59 yards and a touchdown. Good to see him come back and look like himself. He has, if you take away the game in which he got hurt earlier on this season, 18 straight games with at least 6 targets. Sterling Shepard heavily targeted him, basically any Giants offensive attack.
Yeah, and, you know, looked good, scored a touchdown. You know, again, Sterling Shepard can play. Sterling Shepard can play. And yeah, so yeah. I think he's a, you know, top 25-ish wide receiver going forward.
Ish.
Yes, sir. Daniel Dopp.
I'd like to say this. We should talk about it. We got a lot of stuff to preview today. So coming into next week, we should talk about how much Sterling Shepard is going to eat into potentially Darius Slay's production, Darius Slayton's production. But Sterling Shepard is only rostered in 36.3% of
fantasy. Is that right? What a glare. I did not have him on the waiver wire column last week because that was just, assumed he was still over 50%.
Coming off the IR, so it looks like people just have not been, you know, adding him. So he's sitting out there. So please, like,
people trust you, Field.
Yeah.
What Let's happened? Make this happen. I don't know. Evan Ingram last night. This is a good way of
Secret Squirrel,
this.
Schedule a press conference where Field can be teary-eyed and read a prepared statement.
For leaving Sterling Shepard.
Yeah. My bad. And ask for privacy for his family. I think you need to do that. That's all right. We'll work through this. Okay. We will get the PR executives. Okay. We will spin it. Secret Squirrel, also plan a photo shoot for Field Yates and a bunch of puppies, again, to engender sympathy.
That's fair.
Yeah. And a photo op like at a... like at an orphanage or something.
Yes.
Just something again, like he's man of the people. He's like, he's trying to make up for it. That kind of, he's learned his lesson, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Maybe call rehab. Can we get you into rehab? Can we get like a, just him going in?
Going
or,
all
like,
in here.
Like just see if Chapin can like, you know, we're getting you to rehab, something like that. And just gotcha. Like, you know, but you guys both in like Chapin's like in a very appropriate outfit with like big sunglasses and like the scarf or something like that. So maybe. It's just like, you know, like, and we shoot you from like an angle. So it's like the paparazzi's trying to get you.
I'll call Seth. Maybe we do like a 30 for 30 Ooh. On Field. Right. You know what I mean? Coming out of this.
There's something to think about.
I'm glad to have a mentor like Matthew who can speak to how you come back from the dead after yesterday.
No!
How I can bounce back going forward. So,
undertake a gif.
All right, let's keep moving.
Just
right,
really quickly on Evan Ingram. This is a good way of describing this by Matt, our producer, who basically said like, when you think you're going to get 20 points or when it feels like you should have gotten 20 points out of Evan Ingram, you got 10 instead. That seems to be the story of his season and really the story of the past couple of years. The Giants are an interesting team to follow at the trade deadline, I believe. Evan Ingram is a player that if he was traded somewhere else, man, do I think that guy could do some work because he's a really talented guy. He had a bad drop at the end of the game. Bad drop. You got to make that catch. I don't care if it's 6 inches overthrown. You got to make that catch. But another sort of ho-hum game there from Evan Ingram
Field
for the Giants.
He had 10.9 fantasy points against one of the teams that is worst in the NFL at defending the tight end. And that was his second best game of the season.
That's ridiculous.
I'm with you. Like, one of the nuggets from my combine column, I don't know if you remember that, the column I wrote in April, like all the sort of rumors and gossip that I hear at the combine. Yeah. One of the nuggets in there, if you go back and look, is that Evan Ingram is talking to somebody, an insider around the Giants, was that Evan Ingram is one of the players that they think has a chance to be traded in season. So it will be interesting to see if something comes to fruition there.
Okay. Interesting. We'll follow that one. Trade deadline is November 3rd for those asking. We have a ton of injuries to get to, a ton. So, Stefania, this is about to be your show for quite some time. But before we get to injuries, let's start with the latest in Las Vegas, because as we discussed yesterday on the show, the entire Raiders offensive line and safety Jonathan Abram was sent home. But what more do we know about the possibility of this game being impacted on Sunday?
Well, on yesterday's show, we outlined what the high-risk close contact protocol would be. And we didn't know yet if they had been deemed high-risk close contacts, the offensive linemen that were sent home. But yesterday, on a call with reporters that I was on with the league, they did in fact confirm that not only was the Raiders as a club under the intensive protocols, which happen after an exposure, their initial exposure case being Trent Brown, who had tested positive, but they did confirm that those other offensive linemen and Jonathan Abram were all close contacts that were high risk. And we mentioned yesterday that that means they have to be away from the facility for 5 days after the initial exposure. So essentially could return on the 6th if they continue to test negative via PCR tests and then a point of care test. So that calendar means that they could potentially return on Sunday. Sunday is game day. So until then, the Raiders are subbing in for practice backup offensive linemen. They do have a couple additional players available in the practice squad, but you can imagine how that sets up for the game. Now, as far as the COVID testing itself, there were no new positive tests today, according to our Diana Rossini. So the Raiders will continue to move forward in their preparations for Sunday. That game was moved from the Sunday night football game to an afternoon kickoff, the idea being that in the event that the game would not be played, and right now it is scheduled to be played, and they believe it will be played, but in the event that something changed and they could not play it, they wanted to move it to an afternoon slot, take it out of Sunday night football. So right now, the offensive linemen who were sent home are high-risk close contacts. The soonest they could potentially return if they continue to test negative and remain asymptomatic is Sunday.
We have this rule in fantasy football that we often follow. We say it often. We say it frequently, I should say. It's don't get cute, right? Josh Jacobs, one of the best players in fantasy this year, one of the most valuable running backs in fantasy this year. Matthew, if the Raiders are forced to play with a backup offensive line, even if it's 60% backups or whatever, 4 out of 5 backups this weekend, how many players need to be out for you to legitimately consider sitting Josh Jacobs against a really, really good Bucs defensive front?
Really, really good. I mean, that's the other thing is that, so I'm going to guess you also skimmed Love Hate. You haven't had a chance to read it yet, but Josh Jacobs made the hate list this week. He's outside my top 10, which normally he's
it.
Okay. So
good advice about how to get a job,
Good advice on how to get a job, and also loves and hates for the players this week, players that I think will do more, will be better or worse than their expectations. And Josh Jacobs made the hate list. I have him outside my top 10 this week. I think he lower expectations. He's been touchdown dependent so far this year, right? He 11 fantasy points in games in which he doesn't score a touchdown. And for a guy that, you know, you used a first round pick on, that's not good enough. It is, again, we said this earlier in the show, I think you can make an argument that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are playing the best defense in the NFL. And now you've got Josh Jacobs going against this defense behind, like, who knows what kind of offensive line, this patchwork offensive line. I think you'd be hard-pressed in a week in which you've got 4 teams on a bye, when you've got Dalvin Cook and Miles Gaskin out, I think you'd be hard-pressed to probably find 2 good viable. But I don't think it's crazy if you do happen to have 2 viable players to bench Josh Jacobs. And I certainly would lower expectations for him. I would look elsewhere if you're playing DFS. Like, this does not line up to be a smash spot for Josh Jacobs. There's always a chance he falls in the end zone, but certainly don't feel good about his prospects on Sunday, if the game even gets played on Sunday, because I think one of the reasons they moved out of the Sunday night window is to give themselves flexibility to potentially play it on Monday or Tuesday.
More to come on this on Fantasy Football Now on Sunday, ESPN2, 10 a.m. Eastern time. Stefania, yesterday, Michael Thomas, we talked about this on the show, and it's like not just the ankle issue, but something else.
Yeah, dealing with a hamstring issue as well. And it was, there was some question as to what precipitated him not being available. And obviously the hamstring, as far as the recency of it, we don't really know when it came up. But what matters now is that he was limited Wednesday. He didn't practice at all yesterday. And it's really unclear whether it's the hamstring that's keeping him out of practice or what it is. Sean Payton not really sharing a lot about why he was not able to practice and had said earlier this week if he was healthy, he'd play. Suggests he's not entirely healthy. Obviously, Friday, a big day.
Oh, man. I got to tell you what. This one, so obviously this one is very, very, very disconcerting given the fact that we thought he was going to be back. And I'm not blaming anybody here. We just thought he'd be back. We thought he would be back in week 7. Matthew,
yeah, it doesn't look like he's going to be. Michael Thomas, right? Right. I mean, we're just saying, right.
So, but that's what I'm saying, is that it's a big day, as Stefania just described, right now ahead of us. Here's what I would say, though, is we can make this simple for our purposes. We really can.
Can I just interrupt very quickly?
Just time for everything.
No. There you go. No, NFL, I just got an alert. NFL Network, for whatever it's worth, is reporting that he tweaked his hamstring and is very unlikely for Sunday. Michael Thomas, just saying. Like,
well, yeah, but that's
echoing what
right, no. But
said.
Yeah.
Anyways.
To me, they made it sound more dire than today's a big day. Like, gotcha. They made it sound like he ain't playing this week. We'll find out, I guess. We'll see.
And here's what I would say. We've also learned with Michael Thomas during this saga, and Stefania could disagree with me, but I've learned that what maybe the team believes, Michael Thomas may not believe. They may think he's unlikely, and Michael Thomas may say, I'm going to play. And the Saints have been patient. We've all been patient with Michael Thomas. If he plays, I'm playing him. I just ain't, and I know that there's risk involved, and he could leave after 3 plays, and this could be a in-and-out situation, but you've waited too long. You made too much of an investment. He's still Michael Thomas. It's a great matchup. I know that's not necessarily groundbreaking insight, but let's just hope that Michael Thomas plays on Sunday, because I'm really not prepared to go into week 8 of the NFL season with Seathan Carter having more receiving yards than Michael Thomas about halfway through the fantasy football regular season. Let's move forward here. Stefania, we begin with a bunch of injuries to wide receivers that are not quite as well known as Michael Thomas, but still super important for fantasy football,
yeah,
including A.J. Brown.
Yeah, A.J. Brown was one where we didn't know what to expect when he first came back after that bone bruise in his knee, and he looked fantastic in his first game out. And so you thought, okay, this is perhaps more behind him than we thought. And now all of a sudden did not practice on Thursday. And that was interesting because he wasn't even on the injury report on Wednesday. He's listed there because of his knee. There hasn't been a lot of conversation, and I think we're going to learn more on Friday. But just a heads up, if you thought he was completely out of the woods, he was out of practice on Thursday. Whether it's a maintenance day or something worse, we'll find out. Jameson Crowder, I'm concerned about for the Jets because of the groin issue that came up on Wednesday. And Rich Cimini said the fact that Adam Gase didn't mention it before practice had him thinking it was something that happened in practice on Wednesday. Crowder did not practice on Thursday, so that's definitely a concern there. Good news with Deontay Johnson. The back contusion seems to be behind him. Full practice on Wednesday and Thursday, so he looks good to go. And then Keenan Allen's been limited for a couple of days. We saw him with the back spasm, forced out of that game early. They never really thought this was going to be something that carried over into the week. I assume that this is the way they ensure that he's available by limiting him on Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay, so a lot to get to there, and Stefania will keep going in just a moment. But Matthew, of those first 3 names, what stands out to you most amongst those wide receivers? Because my answer might be a little bit different than others.
A.J. Brown's the one that stands out the most to me. Just again, like, practice full on Wednesday and then doesn't practice on Thursday. Like, you know, I'm not particularly bright, but among the things that I've learned from Stefania over the years is that when you're added to the injury report or your status gets worse as the week goes on, that's cause for concern.
Mine is Jameson Crowder because it's a new injury.
Yeah.
Right? So A.J. Brown, as Stefania has referenced in a lot of players, like, there is some workload management. It sounds like Keenan Allen's very much on that load management plan for the Chargers going forward. But Jameson Crowder, this seemingly happened during practice, and then he sits out. He's been really good, too. So, unfortunately for the Jets, they can't have nice things this season. Stefania, let's keep it rolling here with a bunch more wide receiver injuries as you pick things right back up.
Yeah. I was actually going to skip over to the running backs, but...
Okay. Pass right through him. Go ahead. Go to the running backs. Go do your thing.
No, Justin Jackson with a knee issue that's caused him to be limited for a couple of days. And I think that's concerning, given that he's been relied on for more of the work with Austin Eckler out. We talked about this yesterday, that Austin Eckler is going to be out for an extended period of time, looking longer, perhaps, than even the initial timeline. So something to watch with Justin Jackson. They're going to be careful with him. And Daryl Henderson, also with the rotating backfield of the Rams, yeah. him dealing with a thigh issue now that has him questionable going into today.
Right. Oh, for the Rams, remember, they play on Monday night, so we're just getting their first injury report of the week on Thursday.
Well, and but you know, listen, they're playing the Bears on Monday night, which is not a great matchup to begin with. So today's an important day, but if you may have to decide on Darrell Henderson without having any real clarity into that situation, given the fact that Malcolm Brown is still going to have a role and they keep saying they want Cam Akers to get more involved, be interesting to see what happens on Monday night in a bad matchup. You know, Henderson may be somebody that you sit if you're on the fence between him and somebody else Sunday morning, and we don't have clarity yet on his injury.
All right, so Stefania, I think the most interesting running back injury of the week is Joe Mixon. Sounds like Zach Taylor gave a semi-update on radio this morning. Did you catch that, or otherwise, what sort of intel do you have?
Well, I haven't heard Zach Taylor speak, so if you have something you can add, perhaps. But just the fact that Mixon has not been available because of the foot, has not been practicing.
Yeah, I was going to say my update is apparently not much, as Zach Taylor went into great detail to call Joe Mixon day-to-day that he does not expect him to practice today. That being said, there have been instances where the Bengals have had guys not practice and then play on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, Stefania. So it's
different. That did not used to be the case. It used to be a different head coach, different philosophy. So it used to be if you were out on Friday, then you knew that they were going to be out. That's not necessarily the case now.
But it does sound like there's a very good chance, or at least
A foot injury and a running back, yep. and somebody who's really important to you, you're not going to put him out there if it's still a problem.
So, Matthew, yesterday, or was it, I'm sorry, 2 days ago, I believe it was you, maybe it was Mike yesterday, who said that, hey, if Joe Mixon sits out, Giovanni Bernard is a strong RB2 candidate. We've seen this with him filling in, not just for Joe Mixon, but even going further back in the Bengals' annals there, that if he steps in as the starter, he's going to be a top 20-ish play.
Yeah. It was Mike. I wasn't on the show yesterday. Thanks for paying attention.
Well, I don't know if that's a bigger yesterday than before.
I don't know if it's a bigger insult to me or Mike that you get the two of us confused.
Mike, probably.
It's not even close.
It's not even close. Fair. That makes sense. I did not say that. Mike said that yesterday, but I would wholeheartedly agree with that statement.
Right, yeah.
And he's available in a lot of leagues, Giovanni Bernard. 91%
he is, yeah.
Yeah.
So a last-minute waiver wire pickup. I would do this. I would grab him right now. Anyways, if you're listening to this live, or if you're listening to the audio version, just grab him now. Do yourself a favor, because even if there's a 50% chance that Joe Mixon plays, Giovanni Bernard would be excellent insurance in case this foot issue either gets worse or persists going
forward.
Question for you.
Because I did this. So this morning I went through and I picked him up in a few leagues.
Yeah, you're smart.
But there are a couple of things. Mm-hmm. But there's a couple of leagues, including the show league here.
Yeah.
There's a couple of leagues where I have pretty good running back depth. So I have good starters for this week. I picked up Antonio Brown. Like, I have one sort of like flex bench spot that I don't really need. And in those leagues, I picked up Antonio Brown. And so the decision becomes like, the one guy that I could drop is Antonio Brown. Would you drop Antonio Brown to pick up Giovanni Bernard on the chance that he, you know, starts and has a big game this week? Or no, you're like, you know what? It is what it is. Somebody else will get Giovanni Bernard and I can live with it.
Only if you are in must-win territory right away.
Right.
In that circumstance, I would drop Antonio Brown for Joe Mixon. More to come on
Giovanni
AP
Bernard, yeah.
Just a minute. Excuse me. Yes. Giovanni Bernard. So let's get to the tight ends, and then we're going to come back to AB just for a quick second. Matthew gets his moment of insight on AB. But Stefania, a few injured tight ends as well that we're monitoring going into the weekend.
Yeah, Robert Tunyon? Is that how we say it now?
Tunyon, yes.
We've been mispronouncing it. Tunyon, like Funyuns. You talk about good memes and GIFs. There's a couple out there already. Anyway, Robert Tunyon with an ankle issue that caused him to exit the game briefly last week. He was able to come back in, so we thought, well, this isn't too big of a deal. But he has not practiced since, so something to watch. I haven't heard it strongly suggested that he will miss. Again, this could be a proactive thing to keep him out of practice. Obviously, see what he does today. Noah Fant, who people would love to have back in their lineup, dealing with that ankle sprain issue. Really good news yesterday, upgraded to full practice, and so it's looking like Noah Fant will, in fact, play this week. We kind of had a hint that they were holding him out one more week in the hopes he'd go, but that is the strongest suggestion that he will so far. Jonnu Smith?
That is, by the way, that news is fantastic.
Gosh.
Just wanted you guys to know that. That is fantastic. That's a fantastic.
I wish we could
report. Stefania Bell, nice job there.
Yeah, yeah. Don't they have mute buttons now where you can cut mics? I've heard that's possible.
Not here. That technology hasn't reached the Fantasy Focus 06010 yet.
Let's keep things moving.
Jonnu Smith over for the Titans had an ankle issue, but he was back yesterday, full practice as well. Looked good running routes, I'm told. So Jonnu Smith should be fine. And Tyler Higbee dealing with a hand issue. Not clear how serious it is. Didn't practice. But again, they don't play until Monday night. So you have a little more time on him. And then Gronk, remember, couldn't spike with the right arm because he hurt his shoulder. So very importantly, he should be able to spike this week. He will be out there upgraded to limited in practice yesterday.
As long as the game is played, Gronk will be out there on Sunday. Again, now 4:05 Eastern time for the Bucs and Raiders game, unless moved accordingly. We're going to come back in just a minute to discuss Matthew's insights on Antonio Brown. But first, Daniel, what do you got?
You know, when you got up this morning and looked in the mirror, what did you see? Oh, was that a nose hair? Oh, that's gross. Good thing our partners at Manscaped are here to ensure that you're taking care of your manhood and your nose hair with their new performance package. Manscaped's performance package is the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Included in this new package is the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, which is not only waterproof, but it uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. Oh my goodness, that sounds amazing. Get the performance package now and receive two free gifts with it, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. You'll also receive replaceable blades every 3 months to keep your weed whacking and lawn mowing time clean and enjoyable. The performance package is the best value that Manscaped has to offer. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code FFF at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with the free shipping at manscaped.com. Use code FFF. What are you guys waiting for? Go out there and whack your weeds already.
Moving along here to Antonio Brown, who, as we discussed a couple of days ago, Adam Schefter is reporting that the Seahawks are amongst the teams that have interest in Antonio Brown, who is now eligible to return in 2 weeks. Matthew, you were not here with us yesterday when we broke down this news. So would you be interested in adding Antonio Brown to your roster right now? And if so, are you willing to drop? What caliber of a player are you willing to drop as a result of that?
First off, not only am I willing to add Antonio Brown, I have. I've added him in multiple leagues. It's interesting, you know, and this got picked up in a lot of places, but Adam Schefter picked him up in the War Room League before reporting the news. And right. So I noticed that, and, you know, I texted Schefty, and I'm like, what's going on? And he goes, I'm chasing it down, you know? And I said, all right. And then I went and picked him up in some leagues. It's good to be friends with Schefty. And so he reported the news. So certainly, yes, because here's the thing. Name a player on your waiver wire. Name a player on the waiver wire that has more upside over the second half of the year than Antonio Brown.
I mean, maybe Dontrell Inman?
Maybe.
Stop it.
Maybe, but probably not. So, look, there's a lot of hurdles that have to clear, right? He has to be he has to sign with a team, although it appears there's multiple interests, so it appears that he will be on a team. He's coming back in week 9. Obviously, we got to make sure he's in shape. Got to make sure he gets, you know, on the same page with the quarterback. Got to make sure there's no more suspensions because there's still an ongoing investigation.
Right.
But there's not a guy out there with more upside over the second half of the year than Antonio Brown, who we believe, you know, again, judging him purely on a football, from a football point of view, is as good a wide receiver as there is in the NFL from a skill standpoint. So, in terms of what caliber of player I would be willing to drop, a player that is merely a speculative guy. Like, we all have like backup running backs that we're like, oh, you know, if something happens with this guy or a, you know, the fourth guy at a position, your fourth wide receiver, what, like, you know, like you shouldn't be, you know, a backup tight end, like any player that's on your team that's in the quote upside category, like that player doesn't have as much upside as Antonio Brown. I have a question for you, though, very quickly. Is Antonio Brown's trade value at its highest right now?
No. No, because there are people that don't see it the same way that you do.
Right.
Like, Mike Clay was much more hesitant to add Antonio Brown than you are, and I am. I was much more in line with where you're at right now.
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, also, like, he could go out there and be a top 10 fantasy wide receiver for the rest of the season. That's how good he is if he ends up in Seattle. And by the way, all signs point to Seattle. So, no, his trade value, because no one is going to trade you right now, make this up here, DK Metcalf for Antonio Brown, right?
Right.
And DK Metcalf has two more weeks guaranteed than Antonio Brown.
Sure, sure.
At least two more weeks.
Right, but would somebody might trade you something good right now in the speculation that Antonio Brown comes back, and there's a chance that right he doesn't sign or
his value could go up even higher than that. I really
fair enough. If you then last question here, if you have DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett, if you think that it's definitely going to be Seattle, are you trading either one of those guys because now their value comes down because all of a sudden AB is there?
Nah, not doing it.
All right,
they're throwing the ball a ton. DK Metcalf is averaging 22.5 yards per catch. He's going
to
be just
there. You know what they're doing? They're letting Russ cook. I'm with you, but I just think that's important to bring up here. And yeah, I don't think there's a player on your waiver wire, and I can't imagine that he's available in a lot of leagues at this point, but there's not a player out there with more upside of the second half of the year than Antonio Brown. There just isn't.
From the moment they're born, you do everything to keep your kids safe. But who's looking out for you as you look out for them? The Volvo XC90 SUV with advanced safety technology helps look after you. From the standard blind spot information system that watches your sides and can steer you away from merging traffic to standard cross-traffic alert with auto brake that watches your back and can automatically apply the brakes for people and oncoming traffic as you reverse. It's nice to know that someone is looking out for you. The XC90, for everyone's safety. Visit volvocars.com/US to learn more.
Real quick, just to clean this up for Matthew, Antonio Brown rostered in 48.4% of leagues, meaning he is rostered in more leagues than Sterling Shepard is right now at this point.
That's correct. Wow. But still less than 50%.
Yep.
He'll be way over 50, I would think. By the time we get done with this. I would think.
Yeah.
I would hope so.
Let's move forward to what we're talking about. Something
to maybe add to your apology.
Okay. Well,
you know, when you give your press conference, just maybe throw that in there, too.
Letting this one go.
I'll do it.
100%.
Okay, sounds good.
Secret Squirrel, make a note to put that in the press release.
I made a note, yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. Bounce back, downgrade, or bench him. Players that either are not normally Lockett-in starters or guys that are normally Lockett-in starters coming off of some struggles. Some of these will be quick conversations. Some of them will be a little bit more thoughtful. If you're looking for a quarterback replacement this week, Matthew, it's Matthew Stafford, who shares a name with you, the quarterback you should be adding against the Falcons.
I certainly think so. Look, it's a top 8 play this week. Think about the Falcons here. They allow over 29 fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks. That's most in the NFL, right? No other team is allowing even 25 fantasy points a game to opposing quarterbacks. So not only do they allow the most, they allow the most by a lot. Four different quarterbacks have already had three or more touchdown passes in a game against the Falcons as well. Kenny Galladay is back and healthy. Daniel, close your ears. Earmuffs it for me, but I think Matthew Stafford has a monster game this week.
He makes a love list. Read that column. It's always worth your time. Josh Allen, this is a quick one here. He was quarterback 17 in week 6. He plays the Jets on Sunday. Daniel's got him at 1. I've got him at 2. You've got him at 4. This is a major bounce back opportunity. I don't think people are overthinking this one. Like, yeah, he's been struggling. If you overthink this one that much, you need to consider retiring.
You had me at the Jets.
That's
Jets
right.
Team, by the way, that the only fear is
they're
this is a,
so big.
Exactly. Is that like Ben Roethlisberger last week? I mean, they scored 38 points and Ben Roethlisberger had 10 fantasy points or something like that. Because, again, a Jets team without Jamison Crowder, this could get ugly and ugly quick. And all of a sudden he doesn't need to throw that much.
I like that you said it could get ugly if they're without Jamison Crowder. What happens if they have him?
Right. Then all of a sudden it's just, it's just awful and horrific. Right. Not truly setting football back 50 years.
Gotcha. Okay. Devin Singletary.
But you understand what I'm saying. It could get out of hand quickly.
It certainly can. Certainly could, I should say. Devin Singletary, his teammate in the backfield, RB 36 last week. I've got him outside my top 20 at 21. You've got him at 23. Daniel's got him at 16. This is the matchup to do it against. I mean, not only are the Jets a bad defense, they just traded away their best run stuffer in Steve McClendon this week and sort of a look-forward move. He goes to Tampa Bay to reunite with Todd Bowles. If Devin Singletary does not get the job done this week, I mean, he's gonna go into fantasy timeout on the bench until further notice, till he earns that trust. He's going to join the Juju's and the Julian Edelman's and the Odell's and others.
It sounds like you're going to give him a stern talking to.
Wow.
Yeah. Sounds like you're sending him to bed without his dessert.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tough talk from Field Yates
You feel differently, huh?
I don't at all. He's been brutal. He's been brutal. I mean, honestly, in games in which Zach Moss has been active, he has yet to finish as a top 30 fantasy running back. Like, he's been bad. And by the way, to the eye test, like, he doesn't look like the same guy that he was last year, and I don't know what's happening. But it just, he doesn't look like the same guy. I don't feel like the burst is there. It doesn't feel like they're using him in the same way. Like, just ain't the same guy, Field.
Been a bit of a roller coaster for Julian Edelman so far this year. He had his most receiving yards in a single game all the way back in week two in that game against the Seahawks. Last week, he was wide receiver 69. That's not nice. Against the Broncos in a game the Patriots did not win. Now they play the 49ers on Sunday. I don't even know if it's a matchup thing, Matthew. This is, again, he's got to earn it to get back into our lineup.
Yeah, the fact of the matter is I don't know how much of it's all on Julian Edelman. Cam Newton's been bad passing the ball.
He was not great throwing the football this past game, yes.
He certainly wasn't.
Lower volume in other games, right?
That's correct.
That's yes.
I think that's fair. I'm thinking at it from a fantasy perspective, not necessarily an NFL perspective. Correct. I agree with you. He looked sharp at the start of the season, but they've been running the ball so effectively, especially with him.
Right.
You know, in the last couple of weeks, like whatever, he's bad against Denver, but he has not. You know, anyway, the passing volume hasn't been there for a variety of reasons. And so, yeah, it's tough to say like, oh, yeah, I'm starting Julian Edelman, who, you know, has been 7 fantasy points or under for 3 straight games.
Mike, this is a weird one, but Mike Evans has been not great recently for the Bucs in terms of volume, right? He had 1 catch for 10 yards last week. He has been awesome as a touchdown maker this year. He always is. I don't know what his total number of receiving yards is so far this season, but Mike Evans had a chance to become the first player in NFL history to start his career with 7 straight 1,000-yard seasons. He is tied right now with Randy Moss for the most ever. I don't think he's on pace for that right now.
Currently has 281 receiving yards and 6 touchdowns, but they're all like 6 2-yard touchdowns.
Right, they're all short distance. I think he ends up with 1,000 yards this season, but it has not been a great start. The saving grace is that he's still Mike Evans. Tom Brady is still Tom Brady. And the Raiders are going to be without Damon Arnett, first-round pick, who is not only dealing with a thumb issue, but also on the COVID-19 list. Jonathan Abram, their safety, also on the COVID-19 list because of close contact with Trent Brown. Not a great secondary to start. Could this be a breakout week here for Mike Evans? And I'm not talking about from a touchdown perspective, but do you expect him to have better volume this week?
You certainly hope so against the Raiders. Just in general, I don't have a great stat for this. I mean, certainly you look at the 3 games in which Chris Godwin has been active with Tom Brady under center. Guy's got 4 catches. He's got 10 targets in the 3 games, right? And so, just anecdotally, what Tom Brady does, Tom Brady like spreads the ball around, right? I mean, like you think about all his years in New England, like one guy would have a big game and then the next week it'd be another guy. Like Tom Brady likes to get everyone involved and make sure. So I feel like, yes, just anecdotally, I'm starting Mike Evans. I'm doing it based on talent. It's not a matchup that scares you. And the fact that, you know, because he's been quiet, I feel like Brady says, like, I got to get big guy involved.
We're definitely not there yet to the point where it's a real conversation about starting him or sitting him. I just think that 7 or 6 weeks into the season, we all had higher hopes for this entire passing offense, specifically the 2 wide receivers that are considered star players. Stefania, what do you got here on Mike Evans?
Just to add to the conversation you guys are having, I think part of the reason he's been so low volume as far as yards and targets perhaps is because he hasn't been right. You know, his ankle is a problem. And if you watch him play, he limps off the field. I mean, he's limping up the tunnel. He can still make plays. You know, he can gut it out to make a play, but he's not running well. And so I think that has changed his style and what he's available to do for the team. Still being limited in practice this week, obviously you expect him to play, but I need to see it in a game before I feel really confident that he's going to put up bigger numbers.
Okay, we hope to see it this Sunday against the Raiders. Juju, got to earn it, buddy. He makes a hate list. Believe it.
Dude.
Like, how does that work? Like, is he just, like, permanently on the hate list? Like, did you have to think hard about putting him on the hate list this week?
No, I didn't. We did a thing on the fantasy show on ESPN Plus, and I put this in the column as well.
Blind resume?
Blind resume. Did you see this?
I did.
So, Juju Smith-Schuster, in 2020, has a 79% catch rate, targeted on 19% of routes, 4.6 air yards per target.
Okay.
79%, 19% of routes, 4.6 air yards. And the other guy we compared him to is a guy that had an 82% catch rate, so slightly higher, targeted on 18% of routes, just slightly less, 3.3 air yards per target, so like a yard and a half less, but not much. Both guys under 5. That was 2018 Ryan Switzer.
What do you have against Ryan Switzer?
I'm just saying that's what they've turned him into. You know, we wanted to pick somebody that wasn't, that was, you know, in a Ben Roethlisberger quarterback to offense. Like, they've turned Juju Smith-Schuster into Ryan Switzer. Were you starting Ryan Switzer on any fantasy team in 2018?
Couple of them.
2018 was not a good year.
Not a good year for
Field Yates.
Yaters.
Anyway, I mean, that's what it is. Like, he's Ryan Switzer. Like, he's Danny Amendola. Like, but not the good version of Danny Amendola. Like, I don't know what it is, but they've turned him into a possession slot receiver. They don't take it deep. Like, I think you can make a very strong argument that even though Deontay Johnson's been out for 2 weeks, you prefer him, and you certainly prefer Chase Claypool over Juju Smith-Schuster, you know, in the Steelers matchup this Sunday. So, yeah, on my bench until further notice. Dude, he was wide receiver 80. He was wide receiver 81 week six.
Yeah. Wide receiver 81.
That's okay. What we're talking about with
Juju Smith-Schuster. Okay, so that perfectly leads into this. All right, smart trade decisions is informed by IBM Watson and Field. Here's what I want to know. Is now the time to buy low on Juju Smith-Schuster, given how bad he has been to start this season, but also knowing nobody that you're going to pick up off the waiver wire, other than maybe Antonio Brown as a part of this conversation, is going to have the talent and pedigree to be able to potentially turn it on and be a league winner in the second half of the season?
Here's the reason why I'm not trading for Juju Smith-Schuster.
Okay.
He's 1 week away from being available on your waiver wire instead.
Why bother trading him
when you can just pick him up off the waiver wire? I mean, unless he goes crazy this week. Sure. And maybe it is a good matchup. Mike Clay talked about how the Titans have been vulnerable against wide receivers. But absent him going crazy this weekend, I mean, I don't think he's going to last on rosters for much longer. And maybe we get stuck on players of star caliber because we fear the possibility of them breaking out. But yeah, I wouldn't be willing to give up much. I mean, if it's a super low offer, it's a guy that's stuck on my bench otherwise, of course you're fine with it. But not working too hard to find too many creative trade options here for Juju Smith-Schuster. Especially because you got a bunch of guys that can be wide receiver plug-and-play options this year. So let's say you're looking for a wide receiver who might be available in more than 50% of leagues. Perhaps you would turn to Christian Kirk, Matthew Berry, who makes the love list this week.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, Christian Kirk obviously had the coming off the big game on Monday night. Did you know that he, not DeAndre Hopkins, he leads the Cardinals in deep targets? Think about this matchup against Seattle that leads the NFL in terms of most deep completions and yards per game allowed. So you can throw deep on the Seattle Seahawks. I have him as a top 40 wide receiver, so he's deeper, right? But, I mean, again, you have him outside the top 40. So, yeah, I do think he's a wide receiver 4 with some upside in a game that we should see a lot of passing, a lot of throwing. Arizona's going to need to score to keep up with the Seahawks. I like Christian Kirk as a wide receiver 4 with upside here. You know,
Keelan Cole is like 3 years running doing this. Like, he has random good games and yet never a player that we rank inside our top 30 for wide receivers. If you're looking for a last minute fill in, perhaps you've got injury considerations. Michael Thomas doesn't play on Sunday or something like that. Keelan Cole's got 3 top 25 finishes so far this season. Another name to consider, as is Daniel Dobbs, got an offering.
By the way, just off quickly, DJ Shark's the name we all think about when you think about Jacksonville. Keelan Cole is the highest, I mean, has the most fantasy points of any Jaguars wide receiver.
Let's go.
And they're going to have to throw against the Chargers. They will. Like, they're significant underdogs in this game. Like, they're over a touchdown underdog on the road at L.A.
Heck yeah. Another guy that I like is Tim Patrick, right? Not a name like instills a ton of confidence when you hear it, but when you look at it, over 12 points in 3 straight games, wide receiver 17 on a per game basis since week 3, averaging 17.2 fantasy points per game. He's someone that Drew Lock has absolutely looked to and has found a good rhythm with, and they're playing the Kansas City Chiefs. You know they're going to have to throw to keep up. So there are worse options out there if you just need a fill-in for an injured player or a bye week guy than you can find in any one of these 3 players.
I saw this comparison on Twitter, and I apologize. It's not my thought. I forget where I saw it, but I thought it was really smart. Tim Patrick is basically taking over the Cortland Sutton role in that offense. I mean, we're not saying he's Cortland Sutton, but Tim Patrick can play. The Chiefs are good against perimeter wide receivers, so we'll see how that plays out on Sunday. But Tim Patrick can play, and he's certainly getting the target share that you would want, and they're able to move the ball. Like, it's not a great offense, but it's not a train wreck either.
Potential snow game on Sunday in Denver.
Yeah, buddy.
You know why? Denver is always goofy weather. All right, Daniel.
You know, whatever you want to protect, nobody has more ways to help keep you safe than ADT. You can customize an ADT security package to help you protect your home in a way that works for you and your budget. Whether you want just the basics or all the bells and whistles, ADT can work with you to customize a system to help you protect your home. You can have HD video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats, flood sensors, and fire and carbon monoxide detectors that are connected to 24/7 monitoring, all controlled by the sound of your voice or the ADT app. All ADT products are rigorously tested to deliver the quality you expect from ADT. That's the most trusted name in home security. ADT experts average 10 years of experience. Every single one of their expert installers average 10 years of experience. We want you to be happy with your ADT service, and that's why we provide one of the best money-back guarantees from a national security provider. Protect now, pay later with low flexible monthly payments to fit your budget. Please support ADT because they support the Fantasy Focus and Football Podcast.
How do you banish high rates on car insurance?
Eye of Newt Field?
I'll tell you about that in a minute. But no, you switched to Geico during Geico-ween.
That was the best one you've ever done.
I've been working on it at home. October is their favorite
time of year. I don't think you need the B. I think they just want an evil laugh there. I really don't think. Yeah, or just like, or wah-ha-ha-ha-ha. Like, I don't think you need, like, he always leans on the B in the evil laugh. And I think Geico's whole point is that they just want an evil laugh.
Okay, bring it.
Good.
It's like we got the crypt keepers.
Geico-ween.
Wow.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Well, October is their favorite time of the year, and the folks over at Geico have been working even harder to cast out high rates and craft just the right policy for you and your family. Switching to Geico isn't so scary, especially when they could brew up spellbinding savings just for you. So get a quote today at geico.com and see just how much you could save. No Eye of Newt needed.
Oh,
happy Geico-ween, everybody.
I thought Eye of Newt was needed, but it turns out it wasn't.
We get there. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to get to the touchscreen here for a moment. Those that are listening on the podcast version, we will be certainly expelling it all out. But basically what we're doing is we're going to look into a variety of backfields that have two players that could be on the fantasy radar and give you our expectations for them. The player that goes to the left side of the touchscreen will be the one that we think has more fantasy relevance for the week. None of those will be major surprises, but let's talk through them. Our expectations for this week, are that Clyde Edwards-Helaire remains inside the top 20 for running backs as Le'Veon Bell is expected to make his Chiefs debut. Now, whether he plays a large role or a small role is yet to be determined, but it's hard for me to envision him having more than, let's say, 5 to 7 touches at most. Along those lines, Clyde Edwards-Helaire remains a very strong option this week inside the top 20. The Broncos have been pretty stingy, though, against running backs. So not necessarily the best matchup here for Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
And I think Le'Veon Bell has more value this week than at any point in the season. And you're like, he's probably going to get 5 to 7 touches. And I'm like, yeah, but you know what? 7 touches on the Chiefs is better than 20 touches on the Jets.
Interesting.
I'm just going to say, like, I think Le'Veon Bell is a top 30 running back this week, and I think CEH is a top 20 running back.
I feel so that's fair. We'll see whether his role grows as the season goes along. You'd expect it to. That being said, if he has no juice, the Chiefs may decide to rely on Clyde Edwards-Helaire plus Darrell Williams and Darwin Thompson, who they have been throughout the season. Let's talk about the Lions. They're going to go 3-3 this weekend with a win over the Falcons on Sunday.
Yeah, they are.
DeAndre Swift played great last week.
Yeah, he did.
And I believe he actually averages the most yards per touch amongst rookie running backs so far this season. Had over 100 rushing yards last week. And while Adrian Peterson still is a thing, we all have DeAndre Swift ranked as a low-end RB2 or a high-end flex. I'm a little bit more nervous just because Adrian Peterson still played more snaps than Swift last week. But my hope, as I said, actually during the bye week, was that maybe the Lions use the self-scouting opportunity to show that it needs to be DeAndre Swift as the guy in their backfield. All right, the Cardinals kind of got back on track with the running game on Monday night, which is why, of course, Kenyon Drake remains well ahead of Chase Edmonds in the running back rankings. I know Matthew talked about how the 69-yard touchdown run from Kenyon Drake was garbage time, but still, we count those points in fantasy football no matter whether they come in a tight game or a blowout game. Maybe Kenyon Drake uses Monday night as motivation to keep things moving forward. His mom also gave him a talking to recently. She said, "You got to hit those holes, man." As a result of that, Kenyon Drake's fantasy value jumped up by 3 slots. All right, for the Washington football team, back-to-back-to-back games of at least 10 points just from receiving for J.D. McKissick. But it's Antonio Gibson that certainly has the more value this week inside our top 20 against the Cowboys, who, If you haven't heard, could not stop a single person so far this season on defense. They have been just brutal all year. I think Antonio Gibson has a big, big week. And who knows? Maybe Washington wins this game. Things are reeling right now in Dallas. And I'm not just talking about because of the injury to Dak Prescott and all the injuries on the offensive line. It just feels like a year that could go sideways quickly if it hasn't already gone sideways. And the last one here, and there actually might be a debate, is the Broncos. I think Melvin Gordon reassumes a lead back role. He's back practicing and I would think plays on Sunday without any restriction or limitation. Do you disagree with that one though, Matthew? Like, is Philip Lindsay, does he deserve to be the lead ball carrier in Denver? Like, are you maybe?
It doesn't matter what I think. I think this is what Denver thinks. Denver paid Melvin Gordon a lot of money for a reason. I think the best case scenario for Philip Lindsay is that it's a 50-50 split. I think the only concern on Melvin Gordon is if there's some sort of discipline based off of the DUI, but that doesn't appear to be coming anytime soon. And so, yes, I would prefer Melvin Gordon to Philip Lindsay. Do I think Philip Lindsay gets some work? I do. But I think that Melvin Gordon gets enough work and will be the guy when they get in close. Like, he's going to get the goal line work. Melvin Gordon's been one of the best goal line running backs in the NFL in the last few years. And so my expectation here is that, you know, Melvin Gordon's a top 20-ish running back. It's a little bit like what we talked about in Kansas City. I think Gordon is in that CEH range, that 15 to 20 running back range, and that Philip Lindsay is just inside the top 30.
Okay. I mean,
lower because we don't think the Denver offense is as good as the Kansas City offense, obviously.
Agreed.
Not going to be as efficient or as, you know, scoring opportunities, but yes. Do I think Melvin Gordon gets, you know, 15 touches or so? I do.
Okay.
Can I ask a question here about this? Because I look at all of these backfields and I love the idea that while we've established starters as to who we think is the lead guy there, like Le'Veon Bell is absolutely in flex consideration. Chase Edmonds is absolutely in flex consideration. J.D. McKissic, absolutely in flex consideration and made the love list this week, Matthew. I mean, All of these backfields are backfields that, like, given bye weeks and everything like that, you could start either of these running backs. Hopefully you're not starting both of them on a same team, but any of the running backs in these backfields are absolutely playable this week.
Yeah, I mean, look, Adrian Peterson against Atlanta. Like,
if he's getting the touches he's getting?
He's absolutely got a shot to get into the end zone this weekend. Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, I think of these backfields, by the way, like maybe two or three of them have a chance to do the opposite of evening out. Like, I think that eventually it could be DeAndre Swift in the Detroit backfield consistently. And maybe that's the case. Maybe Le'Veon Bell never finds his footing with the Chiefs. But otherwise, we could see a lot of weeks going forward where you're debating how much of a role will Chase Edmonds have that takes away from Kenyon Drake, or how much of a role will J.D. McKissic have to lighten the load of yet still a rookie and also a guy playing running back for the first time, which is, of course, Antonio Gibson. Almost forgot his name there. That wouldn't have been good. Anything
that
else, Daniel?
Bad.
Anything else here we want to make sure we get to the masses?
You know what? I have a question for you.
Okay, let's hear it.
I have who is the most famous fantasy football player of the year this year? Rodrigo Blankenship on a number of my teams.
Yeah, I like
number
it.
One kicker going on a
yes he is
going on a bye this week.
People are
talk to me about how I handle this. Like, is this one of those situations where it's like, you know what? If you've got the spot, keep him on the end of your roster and drop somebody else. Or are you always just like, no, he's a kicker, drop him, and you can if you get him back, then maybe you get him back.
No, I mean, I suppose it depends on your league and what else is out there and who you're replacing him with. But I mean, I will tell you that in our 16-team War Room League, Rodrigo is my kicker, and I'm not waiving him. Like, and that's, I'm dicey at the moment. I don't have a kicker on my team that's playing this week. I have to figure something out.
Yeah.
But I don't want to give him up because a guy like that, that's been as accurate as he has been, that's been scoring as much as he has, like, we always say kickers are kickers when you start the year, but after a while you sort of get a sense of like which kickers are having good years and which kickers are consistently scoring, you know, double-digit fantasy points. If you could, I would hang on to Rodrigo.
Maybe what you can do, Daniel, is wait until maybe Friday around 5 p.m. when a lot of players have been ruled out. Maybe one of your players on your bench.
Correct.
Yes.
Ruled out. You move said player to the IR slot.
Correct.
Or even wait until Sunday morning when maybe we get more information with inactives. At that point, you can make a move.
If I was
Rodrigo.
Looking for those inactive reports, where could I maybe find those on Sunday morning?
Fantasy Football Now, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN2, featuring an award-winning injury expert, Stefania Bell, myself, Mike Clay makes some cameos, Damian Woody, and a great production staff led by Matt Harrington and others.
That's all true. You haven't said one incorrect thing. Does this mean I don't have to come?
Are you on the show Sunday?
Can I sleep in? I don't know. You tell me. Can I? You're the host. Can I sleep in?
Matthew Baer will be there as well with his usual banter and funny one-liners. We look forward to seeing you all on Sunday morning. Back on Monday for Matthew, Stefania, Daniel on field. Talk to you then.
Peace out.
See you in the 06.